Some people want to just have a life that's like a lot of flair and boom, bam, like a firework. But if you're wise, if you want to shine forever, make it your goal in life to bring with you to heaven as many people as you can. The height of selfishness is a Christian content to go to heaven alone.
As we study God's truth, we must begin to take action on that truth. And today on Connect with Skip Heitzig, Skip shares how you can do that to cultivate biblical wisdom in your life. Now we want to tell you about a resource that will help you break free from anxiety and experience the peace Jesus offers.
Christians can be ambushed by surprise struggles. You know how that feels. Listen to Skip Heitzig.
Anxiety is the problem. It's a problem all human beings at some point have to deal with.
Understanding and overcoming anxiety is possible, and we want to help you move from feeling paralyzed by anxiety to finding lasting peace with three powerful resources: Overcoming an Anxious Mind, a new booklet by Skip Heitzig, his teaching, Worship in the Uncertainty on CD, plus the War is Over worship CD.
The cure for worry is to redirect your energy and replace your anxiety.
This resource bundle is our thanks for your gift of $35 or more today to help connect more people to the Prince of Peace. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer to give online securely or call 800-922-1888.
Okay, we're in the book of Daniel as Skip Heitzig starts today's study.
There is a book. It was written in 1894, I believe, by the head of criminal investigation at Scotland Yard. He was a math whiz. He was brilliant. His name was Sir Robert Anderson. He was so intrigued by Daniel, he put pen to paper and figured out the dates and the coming of Jesus into Jerusalem. And here it is. He figured that 483 years tabulated out by day is exactly 173,880 days. So he counted from March 14th, 445 BC, and counted 173,880 days, used a calendar, made variations for leap years, etc., and came up with the end of the 483 years or 173,880 days with a very interesting date, April 6, 32 AD, which happened to be in the Jewish calendar, the 10th of Nisan. The 10th of Nisan, many of you now know from our previous Bible studies, was the day the Jews every year selected the lamb who would be sacrificed on the 14th day of Nisan, the Passover, and they brought the lamb home. What happened on the 10th of Nisan? What happened April 6, 32 AD? Interesting. Jesus crested the Mount of Olives and looked over the city of Jerusalem and said to his disciples, "Go into the village next to you and get a donkey." He had never done this before. He always told his followers after he did a miracle and they said, you're the one, you're the Son of God, you're the Messiah. He said, "Don't tell anybody. Keep it a secret." How hard would that be? You just got healed. Don't tell anybody. This is the only time he publicly allowed, in fact, commanded a public presentation into the city of Jerusalem, fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, "Behold, your king comes to you lowly on the foal of a donkey." And they saw him coming into the city and they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna." You know the story. But something unusual happened. As he nears the city, he says something, and here's what I want you to grasp. Not only did Daniel give the exact day when the Messiah would come, Messiah the Prince, what's even more astonishing is Jesus held the Jews responsible to know the date. Know, therefore, and understand. He held them accountable. In Luke chapter 19, go down to verse 41 if you have your Bible open, or I'll just read it to you. Now, as he drew near, that is, drew near the city, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, now watch this, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies, that's the Romans, will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you on every side, happened in 70 AD, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. The Romans are going to destroy your city because you should have known this day, this time of your visitation. What day? The 173,880th day, the 483rd year, as Robert Anderson calculated it to the very day. Now, verse 26, Daniel 9. After the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. I mentioned that means to kill, to execute. But not for himself. Jesus came into Jerusalem. The Lamb was selected for the nation on the 10th of Nisan. The Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. On Passover, he was sacrificed. He was killed. He was cut off. But not for himself. It was an atoning sacrifice. Isaiah 52. So he will sprinkle many nations. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it will be with a flood till the end of the war. Desolations are determined. Verse 27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's the missing seven. There's 69 weeks. This final period introduced in verse 27 is the final piece of the puzzle. It's the final 7 years. Notice it says in verse 27, he shall confirm a covenant. He who? Back to verse 26, where it says, and the people of the prince who is to come. The people of the prince who is to come, that was the Romans. The Romans destroyed the city. Jesus predicted it. Historically, that happened. So you got a head of gold, silver, bronze, iron, the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire subjugated the Jews, leveled Jerusalem, destroyed it. And as Jesus predicted, historically that happened. But it says, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Now stop there. Something else. I gave you the 173,880 days, right? 483 years tabulated out. If you go home, which some of you will, you're going to get out your little calculators on your phones, and you're going to try to tab all this out. You're going to be wrong. You go, how could you say that? You're probably going to come up with not 173,880 days. Your computer, if you do the math for the years, is going to come up with 176,295 days. And the reason you're wrong with that number is because you are calculating based on the Julian calendar, our calendar, the Western calendar. You need to calculate on the Babylonian calendar as well as Jewish calendar. It was a calendar of 360 days because we track our calendar according to the sun. They tracked it according to the moon. So fair warning. Now you can go home and have at it. So verse 27, he will confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So 7 years covenant, but in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Sounds like the guy in chapter 8. And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate. This is yet future. 69 weeks have happened. Jesus died on the cross, ending the 483 years, but it's 490 years. There's still 1 week. You say, well, didn't that just happen right after Jesus died? Don't we count another 7 years? No, we don't. Because what has to happen at the end of 490 years? back to verse 24. Just want to clear that up. Finish the transgression, make an end of sin, being reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up vision and prophecy, anoint the most holy. That hasn't happened. So there's a hiatus between 69, as suggested in the text, and the 70th week. It didn't happen 7 years after Jesus' death. It will happen after a seven-year period coming sometime in the future prior to Jesus' return. You say, yeah, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, you have to think of what Jesus said. Jesus spoke about the abomination of desolation as something that had not yet happened, something that was in the future. Oh, it happened with Antiochus IV, Antiochus Epiphanes, when he put that statue of Zeus, etc. But I said that was a historic template for something much greater. So listen to the words of Jesus, Matthew 24. And when you see, that's future from Jesus onward, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, you who are in Jerusalem, get out of town. Get out of Dodge. So he spoke it as something yet future. What that means is there has been a great parenthesis between week 69 and week 70 for 2,000 years. Okay. Chapter 10 of Daniel. We're going to finish the book. Daniel 10 is an introduction to chapter 11 and 12, which finishes out the book. It is essentially a lengthy set of prophecies from Darius the Mede to Antiochus the Fourth. It's rehashed again, but in more detail, all the way to the second coming. Look at chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. This is what happens to Daniel as this revelation comes to him. I mourned 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat, no wine came into my mouth. He was totally depressed. He lost his appetite. As God revealed to him the future desolations and pain in store for his own people, the Jewish people. In other words, Daniel, you think the captivity was bad? It's going to get far worse in the future. Well, Daniel, as we go on, sees a vision of an angel, chapter 10, verse 12. And he said to me, Daniel, do not fear, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. Now, it's interesting. In Daniel 9, Daniel didn't even finish his prayer, and there was the angel, right? Gabriel, to announce the coming of Messiah. By the way, Gabriel is the announcing angel. He announced to Daniel the plan of the future, including the Messiah. And who showed up to Mary and Joseph? The angel Gabriel. He's this special messenger being. So that happened. As soon as he started praying, the angel came. Here, as soon as he started praying, this angel was dispatched because of your words. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to my help, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. We're getting a little bit of insight, briefly, 30,000 view. We're looking out of the plane, seeing the satanic battlefield. It talks about here the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, we know who the kings of the kingdom of Persia were. It was King Darius and King Cyrus. They were joint kings of this coalition. Who was the prince? Question mark. Who was the prince? Well, do you remember back in Ezekiel 28, judgment pronounced on Tyre? Take a lamentation against the king of Tyre. Do you remember that? And then midway in the chapter, take a lamentation against the prince of Tyre. And it says, you were in the Garden of Eden. So obviously that's not any kind of a human that was living at that time. It was some being that was in the Garden of Eden. He was the anointed cherub that covers. Likewise here, we know who the kings are. The prince seems to be some demonic entity behind the political scenes of Medo-Persia. Now, why is that interesting? Because you're getting a behind-the-curtain view behind the political curtain. If you wonder why politics is so goofed up, maybe this will shed a little bit of light on it. I believe there are demonic entities over areas, over realms, governors, kings, princes, prime ministers, and the like. Now, when we hear this, the prince of Persia, and we think of a demonic entity, my mind starts thinking, I wonder what the prince of, like, San Francisco is, or Las Vegas, or Hollyweird. Pretty powerful, pretty strong, I'm guessing. Chapter 11. 45 verses in this chapter, and I'm not going to go into detail. I'm just going to sum a couple things up before we close the book. I, one time, outlined this chapter with incredible detail and put it on an 8.5 by 11 sheet and passed it out to the whole church so they would have it as a memorial. Some of you may have it, or you can probably get it online. But essentially, in chapter 11, we have in 30, so we have 45 verses. 35 verses are past. The last few verses are unfulfilled. So we have, it's all future to Daniel. To us today, 35 have been fulfilled. The last section, the little section, is yet future unfulfilled. But get this, in 35 verses, there are 135 fulfilled prophecies. Amazing detail. The best way to understand this chapter is through the lens we've already been given in chapter 9, through Daniel's 70 weeks. 69 weeks, and then the last one, the 70th week, 7 year period, the tribulation period. Revelations is 7 years. So 69 and 7. The first 35 verses describe Israel in conflict during the first 69 years, past tense. The last set of verses, verse 36 to verse 45, describe Israel in conflict during the 70th week of Daniel, the last 7 years. When it's not Antiochus Epiphanes, it's now the Antichrist. Takes us to chapter 12. At that time, we've seen Gabriel, at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And just think of all the bad times in history. This is worse. This is worse. If you wonder how bad could it ever get, read Revelation beginning in chapter 6 and keep following it. You'll see how bad it's going to get. Never before has the world experienced what Revelation, that section, details, and here we get it in kernel, nutshell form. There will be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, every one who is found written in the book. So this is just before the end. Israel will be persecuted again. Paul says in Romans, all Israel will be saved. If you want to know how they're saved, you can read those sections of Revelation. You can read Zechariah chapter 12, and it'll give you the answer. I love, though, it says Michael will stand up. There's two angels named in the Bible. We get both of them here in the section called Daniel. We get Gabriel, that's the announcing angel, and we get Michael, he's the great defender of the Jewish people. If you want another reference of him, go to Revelation chapter 12, where Michael is fighting the demonic hordes in that heavenly battle. Verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. I'm pausing there because this is the very first mention in all of Scripture of everlasting life. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Key verse. How many of you want to be wise? Raise your hand. That's good. That's most of you. The world will tell you how to be wise. There is a wisdom in the conventional wisdom of this world. There is a wisdom they say you must have to be worldly wise. If you want to be biblically wise, this is how. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, he who wins souls is wise. It's the measuring stick for wisdom. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Next time we're at Freedom Celebration, after the fireworks, don't go home. Stay glued to your seat. Let everybody else go. Just keep looking up. Because after those bottle rockets and that music and smoke clears and that beautiful grand finale is gone, just keep looking up and you'll see something that was there before the night began, before your life began, the stars. Some people want to just have a life that's like a lot of flair and boom, bam, like a firework. But if you're wise, if you want to shine forever, make it your goal in life to bring with you to heaven as many people as you can. The height of selfishness is a Christian content to go to heaven alone. If you want to be wise, bring people with you. Verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. It's always exciting to study prophecy. And as I mentioned, when I worked in hospitals in Westminster, California, and Orange County Medical Center, I loved showing to the skeptics the book of Daniel and taking them through some of these prophecies. Because we get a view, a bird's eye view, that is different from an historical view. So let's close with this analogy. It's parade day. It's the 4th of July. We're in our town, maybe the town you grew up in if you're thinking of your 4th of July parade, or you're here. And you're there, and the floats come by. First of all, the clowns with bicycles come by. And some of you go, I love those clowns on bicycles. Others, man, those spooky clowns riding bicycles, get them out of here. So the clowns with bicycles go by. After that, the high school queen float comes by, and she waves, and the mayoral float is way down at the beginning and hadn't gotten to you yet. One of your friends comes in after the parade has begun and says, man, I want to see the clowns on bicycles. Have they come yet? You say, well, yes, they have. They've already passed. They've already gone by. But if you go ahead, you can see what's passed. Somebody else comes and says, man, I want to see the mayoral float, but I got to leave in 5 minutes. You say, well, that hasn't come yet. But if you go all the way to the beginning, you'll be able to see it. But if you get up in a blimp and you go hundreds of feet above that parade site and you look down, you can see the mayoral float, the creepy clowns on the bicycles, the high school queen. You can see all those floats at one time. The vantage point of biblical prophecy lets God's people see that bird's eye, not 30,000 feet, but keep going, of all of world history. It might make you a little sick to your stomach as you read Revelation 6 through 19 to see what's coming, like it made Daniel physically sick. But keep reading to the coming of the Messiah at the end, where rule and righteousness prevails on the earth. And you'll get pretty excited. You'll get the entire view of Scripture in one fell swoop.
That wraps up Skip Heitzig's message from the series, The Bible from 30,000 Feet. Now we want to share about an exciting way you can help encourage others by keeping teachings like today's broadcast going strong.
Did you know that you have a chance to help listeners like you grow in their relationship with the Lord? It's true. Today, you can help strengthen others' faith by giving a gift to help keep these encouraging teachings on the air and available to you. Just visit connectwithskip.com/donate to give a gift now. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Or you can call 800-922-1888. 800-922-1888. Thank you.
And just a reminder, catch Connect with Skip Heitzik on the Hillsong Channel on Saturdays at 4:30 p.m. Mountain, or watch it on TBN on Sundays at 5:30 a.m. Eastern. Check your local listings. Tune in tomorrow as Skip Heitzik kicks off a series called Rock Solid and shares how you can build a spiritual foundation that can't be shaken. Be sure to join us.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzik is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.